Well, thanks to GPS, getting lost is almost a thing of the past. Our cars and our phones are so smart that they now give us turn-by-turn directions to get us where we're going. We don't even have to look at a map anymore. We don't even have to carefully plan our route, because we just plug in our destination and bam, each step is given to us just as it's needed. But anyone who's ever used GPS also knows that it isn't perfect. And sometimes GPS, that thing that is supposed to keep us from getting lost, is the thing that gets us lost. Like the time it told my family to take Interstate 70 from the suburbs of Denver all the way to Kansas before looping us around and getting us to our destination in downtown Denver. Or the time that GPS led a man to drive his car into Prince William Sound after getting off the ferry. Or when it led a woman to drive onto an active runway at the Anchorage airport. Even with the most up-to-date technology, getting lost happens to the best of us. And while being physically lost might be less common these days, we certainly get lost in many other ways. Not knowing where our next paycheck is coming from, or if it will be enough to cover the bills this month. Feeling like we are wandering through life, stuck at a job that is crushing our soul. Being caught up in the waves of grief and longing after losing someone close to us. Or wrestling with the idea of faith, and wondering if the faith of our childhood is really compatible with our life experiences. There are many ways we can get lost. And we all deal with getting lost in different ways. Some of us stop and ask for directions. Others wander for a while until they find the right path. Sometimes when we're lost, we seek advice from friends or family members. We ask them how they handled a similar situation, or we ask for their wisdom as we try to make sense of our journey. And often, their answers help us find our way back. But sometimes, though well-intentioned, the advice we are given is less than helpful. Advice like, "Don't worry, God has a plan." Well, I don't know about you, but many times the idea that God has a plan for my life is more terrifying than comforting. Because if God has a plan for my life, that means that I am responsible for figuring out that plan and then following that plan. Throughout life, there have been periods where I've been so afraid that I wouldn't make the right choices, that I would somehow attend the wrong college or seminary, or that I would make the wrong decision about which job to apply for, that I would marry the wrong person or start a family at the wrong time. I assumed God had this intricate roadmap prepared for my life, filled with twists and turns and ups and downs that would eventually lead me to some mystical place where I could finally say I had arrived. I was terrified of making the wrong turn somewhere along the way, wandering off the path that God had prepared, left to my own devices to figure out how to get back on track. The problem was that I couldn't find that map. And often the magical GPS voice of God that I assumed would lead me was silent. But by the grace of God and some good theology along the way, I began to realize that that's not how God works. Yes, God is interested in my life, and God knows me so well that God knows every decision I will make. And yes, God even clearly intervenes at times. But God does not have some secret plan for my life that I have to figure out. God's plan for my life and God's plan for your life is the same. To be with us no matter what comes. God's plan is to stick by our side through thick and thin, reminding us of God's love for us. And even gently, or sometimes not so gently, reminding us of our call to seek God first. To seek God's kingdom and righteousness first. That's it. That's the whole plan for our lives. for God to be with us as we seek God's righteousness. And this is what we see witnessed throughout Scripture. God walks with those who are wandering in the wilderness and promises to be with them. Rarely does God spell out exactly what that means for them, but God's promise is sure. The God who is the great I Am is the God who will be with them, walking beside them, encouraging them, and even at times carrying them through. From Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar, to David and Hezekiah, from the disciples to Paul, to Christ's own brother James, we see the story of Scripture calling us to remember that God has promised to be with us, that God loves us and cares for us, and is with us no matter what. None of these biblical characters had a roadmap handed to them. None of them knew the exact steps they needed to take in order to follow God. Instead, they made decisions and they lived their lives. They made some bad choices. They made some good ones. They found fortune. They had famine. They experienced grief and gratitude, moments of joy and times of deep pain. But God was with them through it all. God was personally involved in their lives at every point on the journey. The witness of Scripture reminds us that having a personal relationship with God sustains us in our call to live our lives for the glory of God. No matter what our lives look like, no matter which vocations we have chosen, no matter what our interests or desires are, our call is the same: to seek God's righteousness and pursue God's kingdom. And this is an active call, not a passive one. Because living into God's plan for our lives doesn't mean that we just sit back and relax while God does all the work of providing. Yes, God clothes the lilies and feeds the birds, but we have to remember that they too are doing important work. They're not toiling away or storing things in barns, but the birds and lilies aren't idle. They are busy working and serving their God-given purpose. Throughout history, lilies have been used for medicinal purposes, for treating fevers and helping women through labor. And birds help sustain the earth by spreading seeds and keeping pests under control. The lilies and the birds do not have time to worry because they are busy fulfilling God's plan for their lives by being exactly who they were created to be. Like the birds and lilies, God has created us to work alongside Him and to bring about God's kingdom on earth. So trusting in a personal God means that we don't have to worry about tomorrow, because no matter what it brings, the God who clothes the lilies and provides food for the birds will be with us. Trusting in a personal God means that God will be with us as we seek righteousness and pursue peace and work for justice. Worshiping a personal God means that we will never be truly lost. Even when we make a wrong turn or follow incorrect directions, even when we can't see the road ahead and don't really know where we're going, we're not lost. As the Reverend Denise Anderson, who is one of the co-moderators of our denomination, says, "As long as God is with you, you are in the right place." So don't worry. God loves you and has a plan for your life. May that be a promise and not a burden. And may we trust in the goodness of God's plan to see us through all of our days. Thanks be to God. Amen.